Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
Oh, and first pitch, rushing! Deep left field! This is way back! Welcome on!
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
Welcome to Majors, Gabriel Moreno, and welcome in to Fantasy Baseball Today on Thursday, June 9th. Frank Stanfield joined by Chris Towers. Gabriel Moreno, catcher prospect for the Blue Jays, is getting promoted. Nice call by Chris on yesterday's podcast. Beat the waiver wire for two-star pitchers. We've got rankings, risers and fallers, and much more. Before we even get to, oh my goodness gracious, let's just start with that prospect promotion, Chris, because it is a big one. Gabriel Moreno of the Blue Jays reportedly will join the team this weekend in Detroit, and this is a top 5 to 10 prospect in all of baseball. 60 grade hit tool, 55 grade power, though we haven't seen much of the power so far this season in the minors, where he was hitting 324, one homer, eight doubles, a 784 OPS. Gabriel Moreno, 25% rostered. And Chris, where do you plan to slot him in the rankings? And do you think that he will play enough?
I've already updated them. And, you know, the running joke that we always have on this show is, if you're catcher eligible for fantasy and you have a pulse, you're probably going to be ranked in the top 20. And so that's exactly what I did. I moved him up to, I moved him up to 17 in both head-to-head points and roto. So right behind MJ Melendez and Gary Sanchez, ahead of the likes of Austin Nola and Yadier Molina and Jonah Heim. And just that whole, like, I'm basically saying there are like 16 catchers that I feel good about, and then Gabriel Moreno, who, no, I don't know if he's going to play every day or play enough, you know, but the Blue Jays have been okay playing their catchers at DH occasionally. It's a little weird that they waited a couple days to call Moreno up and called Zach Collins up instead. Not sure if that says anything about their willingness to use him regularly or how long he's going to be up, but yeah, that the potential there is enough for me to move him up. And I added him in the one league where I have open free agent claims. I have Sean Murphy and Jose Trevino and Kurt Casale on that team, and so clearly catcher is a problem for me, and ideally I wouldn't have four catchers on my roster. So hopefully Gabriel Moreno can get hot early on and help me drop one of those guys. But yeah, I think if you have any need for a catcher at all, he's a must add player.
Yeah, I have a few two catcher leagues where I added Brian Servin recently. He's my second catcher in one league. Cal Raleigh, who hit another home run here on Wednesday. Yeah. I'm rolling with those guys as my second catcher. I randomly wound up with a lot of Wilson Contreras, just felt like he kept falling in drafts. So happy to have him. Yeah. But my
moved him up to my number two catcher.
Yeah, rightfully so. I'm with you, Chris. I moved Gabriel Moreno up to my 16th ranked catcher. He's just behind MJ Melendez, Travis d'Arnaud, William Contreras. Mm-hmm. Those are the three catchers just ahead of him, and just behind him, Christian Vasquez, Max Stassi, Jonah Heim, Sean Murphy. So I would take Gabriel Moreno ahead of those names, even though Vasquez is playing well right now. But yeah, there is massive upside here. A lot of prospects recently have been called up and they don't hit right away. So that's probably the expectation for me, Chris. But, you know, people might ask, well, what happens when Danny Jansen returns? He's probably out, I would say, at least 3, maybe 4 weeks. He's dealing with a small fracture in his hamate bone. But if Gabriel Moreno hits, Chris, he's going to stick around. Like, it's as easy as that.
Yeah, like, they'll figure it out. I don't know. Like, Jansen, you know, I guess the concern would be that Jansen wasn't playing so much that, you know, if Moreno's just going to get that playing time. That's a concern, but then it's not really, I don't know, that it's hard to understand how, why they would call him up if it wasn't to play regularly. So I'm assuming that's what it's going to be. And yeah, like maybe one of them plays DH moving forward and they just keep Jansen, Kirk, and Moreno on the roster. You know, if Kirk keeps hitting like he does and Moreno hits like he's capable of, one of those two guys is very much a DH quality bat. Moreno's an interesting prospect because so much of his value seems to come from his bat, like his hit tool. He hit 8 home runs in 32 games last season at AA. That's kind of the outlier for his career. I'm not sure anyone really expects him to be a high-end power threat, but he's got a little bit of speed. You know, he stole 7 bases in 82 games in 2019. If he can be a 5-steal guy rest of season, there's value in that if he hits 280, and that's well within the realm of possibility. So, yeah, there's a lot to like here, and catcher prospects are hard. You know, Kirk's had a lot of up and downs. Jansen's been disappointing. You think about some of the other high-end catching prospects in recent years. Joey Bart has been a total flop. Just got sent down today, actually.
I know it's only been a month, but just throw Adley Rutschman in that mix, I guess.
Carson Kelly, yeah. You know, these are guys, Luis Camposano, like these are guys who have been really highly touted, and often it takes a couple of years for them to figure it out. So there's a chance, maybe a very good chance, that Gabriel Moreno doesn't hit right away and get sent down. But unless you've got one of, 5 catchers? Perez, Contreras, Realmuto, Smith, Varsho. You can probably find a spot for him on your roster just in case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that he's a must add in a one catcher league, definitely in 2 catcher leagues. But I mean, if you have a dead roster spot and you just want to take a chance on him, and you know, if he does well, then maybe you could flip him to another team. Last point on the playing time. Let's say they have 6 games in a week. I think they'll find a way to get Moreno in the lineup 4 times out of 6 games. Like he'll either catch 2 or 3 games, and then he'll DH the other couple. And Alejandro Kirk obviously is no stranger to playing DH as well, and they need Kirk's bat in the lineup because he's been amazing as of late. All right, let's get into some of Wednesday's action.
Oh my goodness gracious.
All right, Chris, where would you like to start?
How about the guy who is this the second time the Sandy Alcantara has thrown 9 innings and not gotten a win?
I know that there was another start where he did it at least 8 innings.
I think he threw an 8-inning complete game in a loss. I think that's what it was. Yeah. So the hardest luck pitcher in baseball, Sandy Alcantara, 9 shutout innings, 6 strikeouts, 6 hits allowed, lowers his ERA to an MLB best 161. And he's got, he's got 6 wins. I actually thought that number was lower, but he didn't get a win tonight. The Marlins did end up winning. Look up the slow motion highlight of Williams Astudillo's game winning run because it's phenomenal. He's just an absolute gem. But yeah, Sandy is phenomenal. I mean, what can you say? He had 17 whiffs today. The whiffs have been way up lately. It's been more like that second half that he had. And it's been, really consistently every start, it's been like today, 5 with the changeup, 5 with the slider, 3 with the sinker, 4 with the 4-seam fastball. He's just, every pitch seems to be working for him right now. And yeah, he doesn't get the strikeouts and the whiffs that you want from an ace, but everything else, and the strikeouts are still pretty good. So yeah, Sandy Alcantara is one of the best pitchers in baseball. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I have him 9th. He's right behind Walker Buehler. And you wouldn't have to twist my arm much to get me to move him ahead of Walker Buehler with the way Buehler's pitched this season.
Yeah, I moved Sandy up to... Wait, Sandy! I moved Sandy up to SP6 in the rankings. So the only 5 ahead of him, Corbin Burns, Gerrit Cole, Verlander, Kevin Gausman, and Zach Wheeler. So... lots of confidence right now in Sandy Alcantara. And I did want to pull up the strikeout leaderboard in Major League Baseball.
This was a wild, while you're doing that, this is a wild stat that I saw. Okay. It's 3 pitchers in the last, I think it's 25 years, who have had 5 starts of 7 or more innings, 0 or 1 earned runs. It's Clayton Kershaw 3 times, which is amazing. And then Jake Arrieta and Sandy Alcantara now.
Jeez.
It's pretty remarkable. He's thrown 210 innings with 204 strikeouts over his over the last calendar year. So, you know, that's basically a full season. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And Scott made this argument. He actually made it for Adam Wainwright in the preseason. And he said, while Wainwright's strikeout rate is not great, the volume that he gives you in innings will allow him to rank higher on the strikeout list than you would imagine. And that is the same exact thing for Sandy. His 77 strikeouts are tied for seventh most in Major League Baseball. So while he doesn't have this gaudy K per nine, the swinging strike rate is actually better than you would imagine. He's going to rank highly in strikeouts because he gives you so much volume. What I've noticed,
he's averaging almost 7 innings per start right now, 6.97 innings per start. He's an outlier. And, you know, he's a guy who's thrown 197 and 205 innings in his career before. So he's a true, he had 200 strikeouts last season.
Yep. I think he's the odds on favorite to lead Major League Baseball in innings pitched. And I mean, that's pretty obvious because I'm pretty sure
he's up to 83 right now. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he already does. Yeah. Like he's got 83 and then Aaron Nola has 74. Last point on Sandy Alcantara, his first seven starts, he averaged 4 walks per nine. He has just 5 walks total over his last 5 starts. So that is just so key for him. When he can keep those walks down, it seems obvious, but that allows him to go even deeper into these starts and provide that volume. He's amazing. He's a top, you know, 7, 8, 9, whatever you want to call him, starting pitcher moving forward. Oh my goodness gracious, for me, Chris, is Bryson Stott. And we were talking beforehand, there is no shortage of interesting middle infielders right now. We spoke about Luis Garcia and Ezekiel Duran the past couple of days. Bryson Stott just goes out there and has a 4-for-4 game on Wednesday, hit his third home run, all three of those coming over his last 5 games. He's only 21% rostered, obviously comes with a decent amount of prospect pedigree, and he's going to play. He's been playing second base for them. He's got second shortstop eligibility. Gene Segura is on the shelf, so there's no concerns about playing time. And he's actually performing now. So, Chris, what do you think about Bryson Stott, and where does he rank among those three interesting middle infielders?
So you said Ezekiel Duran, Luis Garcia.
Yep.
He's behind all those guys, but you know that's not necessarily a significant knock on him. You know, he's done nothing but hit at, you know, in the minors, 915 OPS in AAA, 848 at AA. And he seems like he's starting to figure things out. So, yeah, I think he's an interesting, probably not a 12-team points league guy, but anything deeper than that, I think, is worth a look.
All right, and since being recalled, I'm trying to see what he might be doing differently. He's not really hitting the ball all that hard. Is he putting it in the air? Yeah, he's hitting a lot of fly balls. Wow. So over the past week or so, he's got a 53% fly ball rate. So yeah, that's going to lend itself to, especially in Citizens Bank, that's going to help with the power, but maybe a little bit of a lower batting average there, even though, I mean, I would say Stott's best tool is probably his hit tool, and that's what he was known for most. So
yeah, he's striking out too much in the majors so far. You know, coming into tonight, it was 29%. This 4-for-4 game helped, but he's not someone who can strike out a lot and be successful, I think. He's probably going to be someone who needs to be at least average in terms of his strikeout rate in order to have success, but you know, the stretch we're seeing from him right now and the potential that he has shown in the minors is, you know, definitely worth a look.
Yeah, I updated the rankings on Wednesday, and I have Stott ranked behind both of those middle infielders as well. But it is close, and I think it almost kind of depends what you need, right? Like Duran, maybe for a little bit of speed. I think Luis Garcia, maybe a little bit more pop. Stott for the batting average. But I think they're all interesting and definitely worth adding in some of those deeper leagues with middle infielders. Speaking of those Phillies, by the way, they put up big game here in Milwaukee. 10 runs on 14 hits. Stott was not the only one who went off. Bryce Harper hit his 14th home run. Kyle Schwarber went 4-for-5 with 2 doubles, 2 runs, 2 RBI there. And then Rhys Hoskins went 1-for-5 with his 9th homer. He's batting .220. And Chris, I realize we haven't really talked about Rhys Hoskins at all this season. I remember looking earlier in the year and seeing that his expected numbers were pretty interesting, but looking at them now, 243 XBA, 457 expected slug. He's only got 9 homers. He's been kind of a letdown, and I'll say that as someone who was pretty excited about Rhys Hoskins myself.
Yeah, but a lot of the underlying numbers, you know, look very similar to last season. His line drive rate is pretty much the same. His fly ball rate's down a little bit. His pull rate is up a little bit. And his strikeout rate's up a little bit. So it does seem like he's just kind of been a little bit worse across the board. And that has added up to, you know, a pretty significant decline in his actual production. But I haven't felt compelled to move him down. You know, I've done... When I've updated my first base rankings, I still have him ahead of Josh Bell and Joey Votto. I could flip those guys in any order, and I think it would make sense. And so I think he's still a number one first baseman moving forward.
Yeah, I have him just at the back end of my top 12. And all right, so
yeah, I think that makes sense.
He is, yeah, the fly ball rate is down this year, so that's obviously going to lead to less volume in terms of power so far for Rhys Hoskins. And yeah, his home run to fly ball ratio is down a little bit. You know, his average exit velocity is down a little bit. But I would imagine he will start to put the ball in the air more. And as the weather heats up, especially in Philadelphia, you know, would not surprise me if he just goes on one of those binges and next thing you know, like, he ends the season with 30 home runs. That is,
yeah,
Rhys Hoskins that we're talking about. And the Phillies were not the only NL East team to go off on Wednesday. The Braves put up 13 runs on 13 hits themselves, including four homers, one from Austin Riley, his 15th. William Contreras hit his 8th homer. Ozzie Albies hit his 7th. Adam Duvall hit his 4th homer. Matt Olson went 2-for-4. He hit his 24th double, Chris. That leads Major League Baseball. I just thought that was so weird. Like, I guess I would imagine those doubles will turn into home runs eventually for Matt Olson. That, you know, that's what we've talked about recently with him, but just not someone I would expect to lead baseball in doubles is Matt Olson.
You would think those will turn into home runs. I guess the, you know, there were some weird things going on when, like, you looked at the expected home runs by park. Atlanta has a reputation as being a pretty good park for left-handed power, but, you know, his numbers were lower there than his actual home run production. So it could be a case of the park not doing him many favors, but I think he's fine. You know, we mentioned him the other day, and I think he's going to be just fine.
All right. Michael Harris, by the way, the young Braves prospect who was called up recently, went 2-for-4 with 2 RBI and 2 runs in that game. He's batting .268 early on. Lots of ground balls. I think it was something like a 57% ground ball rate. So we've got to get that down if we're going to, you know, expect any level of batting average or even power out of Michael Harris. He's 46% rostered. Probably should take a shot on him in 5 outfielder leagues. Let's move over to some waiver wire hitters. And in shallower leagues, 2 names that stood out on Wednesday. Andrés Giménez, 2 more doubles. He is batting .310 with an .885 OPS. He's got 7 home runs, 4 steals. He's 73% rostered. And Christian Walker, I keep waiting for this number to climb higher, Chris. I know he's batting .201, but he's got 15 home runs. That's, you know, he's top 5 in baseball in home runs right now. It feels like someone needs Christian Walker on their fantasy team and that he should be universally rostered. But he is 71% rostered. Andrés Giménez, 73%. I guess the only leagues they would be available in are like 10-team leagues or points leagues. Do you think those guys need to be rostered there?
Giménez, I hadn't really given his underlying numbers enough of a look, I guess, because
he's crushing.
I'm kind of surprised at how well he rates out here. And it could be just a result of this recent hot streak, but his expected WOBA is .364. His actual WOBA is .374. So that's really quite good. He's doing it by being incredibly aggressive, only a 3.3% walk rate, but he's managed to, you know, have an average strikeout rate, which is, you know, you'd probably want more. But if, you know, the way he's hitting the ball, you know, 61st percentile in average exit velocity, 55th in hard hit rate, 59th in max exit velo, you know, that's all above average. And if he can be an average or slightly above average strikeout rate guy, then it starts to be kind of intriguing. I mean, it's been intriguing, I guess. But yeah, it's he's been a lot better than I gave him credit for. I need to move Andrés Giménez up quite a bit in the rankings. I'm not sure how much I buy it. You know, it's definitely an outlier for his major league career. We've never really seen this kind of quality of contact from him. 2020, he was 6th percentile in barrel rate, 20th percentile in average exit velocity. So, you know, pretty bad. But he's 23. He's a former top prospect. And, yeah, we could be witnessing a breakout here.
There's one name that stands out to me that is just way too rostered right now, and that is Ryan McMahon. He's 94% rostered. Like, if you have Ryan McMahon on your team, I would drop him for Andrés Giménez.
I would drop him for Luis Garcia. I would drop him for Ezequiel Duran. That is actually a pretty easy call for me.
All right. The other one there, Christian Walker. Chris, anything you'd like to add on him? I moved him way up. I think he's like 16th in my first base rankings now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him a little later, and he was definitely a riser for me. He's up to 14th for me. And I don't 100% buy it. It's kind of a reflection of how little faith I have in, I don't know, whatever fourth tier first basemen that are in that range, or Anthony Rizzo, Yuli Gurriel, that kind of crew. But yeah, the underlying numbers for Christian Walker are uniformly excellent. You know, he's got a 3.26 wOBA, a 4.03 expected wOBA. Now, we know because of the ball, you can't take expected wOBA and just translate it immediately. But yeah, he's showing improvements in his strikeout rate and his plate discipline. Contact rate is up. He's been more patient, 66% zone swing rate versus 81% for his career, but he's making more contact when he does. So I don't know. This does look like the best version of Christian Walker we've seen. And remember, he had a 29 homer season back in 2019.
Yeah, he is putting the ball in the air a lot right now, and he's hitting it with authority. His expected numbers are just fantastic. That is Christian Walker that we're talking about. I'm looking for some names that are rostered in more leagues than him. Eric Hosmer, easy call, drop him for Walker.
Is Torkelson still more rostered than him?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, yeah, Torkelson that would be one. 65%. Connor Joe, look, as much as I love Connor Joe, you know, we got the Kokomo Friday song and everything, I would make that swap. I would drop Connor Joe for Christian Walker.
Yeah, that one's a little harder just because Connor Joe is outfield eligible, and so
that's true.
Outfield's kind of a mess, and he's still like a top 40 guy for me there. But yeah, I would say Christian Walker deserves to be more rostered than he is.
All right, a couple other names here, Chris, that stood out. Waiver wire hitters from Wednesday. Josh Rojas went 2-for-4 with a triple and his fourth home run. He's batting .286, and he has four eligibilities: second base, third base, shortstop, and outfield. Manny Margot went 4-for-5 with a walk and two runs scored. He's 59% rostered. Ramon Laureano has a 12-game hitting streak going on right now. He's hot and has the potential to steal some bases. He's 43% rostered. And Jose Miranda, he went 3-for-4 with a double and three RBI. His last 12 games entering Wednesday, 13-for-37 with three home runs. Anyone that stands out to you there, Chris? Rojas, Margot, Laureano, Jose Miranda.
I think Margot is completely smoke and mirrors. He had that stretch where he had three home runs in three games. He hadn't done anything since then. I would probably rather have Laureano than him. I definitely would rather have Laureano than him. I would rather have Rojas than him if I'm looking for an outfielder. And yeah, I think I would rather have Miranda than him. Miranda, you know, hit .340 with 30 home runs in the minors last season. I don't think he's that guy in the majors, but he's been really good the last couple of weeks after really struggling early on. And that could just have been him getting acclimated to the majors. So I definitely think Jose Miranda especially is someone who deserves to be rostered more.
The only thing I'll point out with Manny Margot is he is hitting a ton of line drives according to Fangraphs, and I'm not sure how sticky that is, or, you know, just because you've done it to start the season, is it something that's going to maintain for the rest of the season? But as a result, his expected batting average was .312 entering Wednesday. So there is something there. But since he returned from the IL, Manny Margot really was not doing much. So I just wanted to point that out with him. Some names in deeper leagues, just let's watch him. See what happens here. Kevin Biggio in 10 games since returning. He's batting 308 with three doubles, six RBI, and he's hitting the ball hard. It's something Kevin Biggio, even at his best, he would put the ball in the air a lot, but not hit it hard. He has a 91 mile per hour average exit velocity in 10 games since returning. So that's worth noting. And then my guy, Cal Raleigh, if you need a second catcher and you missed out on Gabriel Moreno, he went 1-for-4 with his 7th home run. He's got 3 homers over his last 6 games. Beat the waiver wire, 2-start pitcher edition, and we'll start with 3 names that you could target in shallow leagues. Alex Wood, he did not have a 6-inning start entering Wednesday, and he did do one better. He went 7 innings against the Rockies, gave up 1 run, he had 5 strikeouts. He's 71% rostered. I know a lot of people are dropping him, and rightfully so. You're going to want to pick him back up because his matchups next week, the Royals and the Pirates. Awesome for Alex Wood. The other
this one really chaps my bum, as they say, because I started Alex Cobb over Alex Wood in Tout Wars, and then Cobb had a good matchup. I think he might have had 2 starts this week scheduled, and they were good matchups, and then he got scratched. Yeah. So that one really hurts.
Mm-hmm. The other names, Josiah Gray, now 2 solid starts in a row. And how is he doing it? He's lowered his 4-seam fastball usage, throwing his slider and his curve more, which is smart. When you have a bad pitch, you should throw that pitch less. And
yeah, it's tough when that bad pitch is a fastball and you don't have great command.
True.
Because you got to throw strikes. And it's harder to throw curveballs and sliders and changeups for strikes. But his slider and curveball are so much better than his fastball. His fastball, he throws it pretty hard, but it's, at least so far in his major league career, it's gotten hit really hard. He's one of those, you know, Tristan McKenzie's a very similar pitcher. And, you know, that slider and curveball usage being up, and especially that fastball usage being down to 33% today, I think that's a good sign. Obviously, the caveat being it's the Marlins, but very impressive from him.
Entering this start, he had a 6.45 slugging percentage against his fastball and has allowed 11 home runs. So
and that's lucky, according to the expected stats, because he had a 7.48 expected slugging percentage. That it's a bad pitch.
Yikes. Merrill Kelly is the other name here. He posted his first quality start since May 6th, and he was at the Reds, where he went 6 shutout and had 5 strikeouts with a season-high 17 swinging strikes. He was actually lucky to throw 6 shutout innings because Alec Thomas robbed our guy Joey Votto of a 2-run homer early in that game. Chris, how would you rank these 3, just looking at 2-star pitchers for next week? Alex Wood, Josiah Gray, and Merrill Kelly.
Yeah, worth noting, Votto only had 1 hit today, but he had 3 hard hit balls. He's super locked in and could have easily had a home run. But
you know what else happened too, Chris, recently? He was in Fenway last week, and he hit 2 doubles that were over 375 feet. And someone else pointed out to me that Juan Soto robbed a home run over the weekend. So as good as Votto has been since he returned, the numbers should look actually way better than they are.
Hitting the ball incredibly hard. Yeah. Three batted balls over 95 miles per hour, 2 over 103 miles per hour today. That's very good. What was the question? Sorry.
How do you rank these 3? Josiah Gray, Alex Wood, and Merrill Kelly for next week.
I would think it's Kelly, Gray, Wood. But, you know, Gray is someone who can rise very, very quickly in my estimation. And, you know, also probably benefits from good matchups when he has them. So,
I have basically written Merrill Kelly completely off, Chris. I lowered him to SP98. I didn't even realize I dropped him that far, but I actually think I would go Wood, Gray, and Merrill Kelly in that order. Just, I guess, based on what we saw so far on Wednesday. Would you be willing to drop these pitchers, Chris? Yusei Kikuchi, he gave up 3 runs on 4 walks, does not escape the first inning. It looks like he's in line for 2 starts next week against the Orioles and the Yankees, but I don't know who is brave enough to play Yusei Kikuchi. Yeah. That might be my fortune favors the Brave 2-star pitcher for next week. And then Jose Urquidy is another one where he has now got an ERA up over 5 with a 1.59 whip. Are you okay dropping both of those, Kikuchi and Jose Urquidy?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Kikuchi, we've seen just, there are flashes, but he's just not consistent at all. Actually, I guess more often than not, he's consistently bad. So I think it's fine to drop him. And Urquidy, the quality of contact metrics this season have been horrendous. He has a 4.67 expected woba on contact right now. That is basically every hitter turns into Juan Soto against him, I guess. Not necessarily because of the walks, but, you know, whatever. It's fine. You get the picture. He's giving up a lot of loud contact. Yeah, I think Urquidy's totally fine to drop.
All right. Well, you know, you were describing Kikuchi and how consistently bad he is, and it reminded me of another pitcher in deeper leagues, Mitch Keller. He's just when you think you're out, he pulls you back in. Classic tease by Mitch Keller up against the Tigers. He gives up one run over six innings, had seven strikeouts, completely changed his pitch mix in this start. 44% sinker in this one. That was just 7% entering the start. He threw his slider more, basically got rid of his four seam, which is a bad pitch. It's actually his worst pitch. So again, it makes sense there. So these are some names in deeper league, Chris. Johnny Cueto has now gone six innings in all five of his starts. He's in line for two starts next week. Alex Fiedo has allowed two earned runs or fewer in all seven of his starts. He's got two starts next week, as does Mitch Keller. What do you think about those three? Cueto, Fiedo, and Keller.
Fiedo is the only one I'm really interested in. And I'm not that interested in him. I know Scott likes him a lot more than I do. It was nice to see a lot of swinging strikes in this one, especially with the slider. What do you have, 11 of them in this start with the slider?
10 on the slider, yep.
10 of them, yeah.
No, I lied. That's good. Nine on the slider.
I think you can probably chalk that up to a matchup against the Pirates and not something that I would necessarily expect to remain the case moving forward, but like White Sox and Texas next week, those are okay-ish matchups. So I think he could be useful. Keller, no. I'm not going to fall for it. Maybe this pitch mix, you know, throwing sinkers more, throwing sliders more, maybe that'll help. But we've seen enough from him, I think, to know that even though he's throwing harder this season, there's no reason to think he's going to be a good pitcher.
Let's take a break, and when we return, we'll hit the news and notes here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. The news and notes. Mike Trout was out Wednesday with left groin tightness, but is expected to avoid the IL. Let's hope so. Starling Marte hopes to avoid the IL himself after leaving Tuesday's game with left quad tightness. He was out of the lineup Wednesday. You know, Chris, it's so weird. I don't know if it's just bad luck, but, you know, Trout and Marte specifically, they're two players that it seems like no matter what happens, they have to have an IL stint at least once per season. And we're just kind of hitting that point for both of them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Marte, he's 33, so it's not terribly surprising there, I guess. But, yeah, hopefully this isn't anything to be concerned about. He's been a disappointment so far, but, you know.
Starling Marte?
Yeah.
I think he's been pretty good, actually, no?
He's having his worst season as a hitter in quite a while. I guess if you adjust for era or offensive environment, he's been better than 2020, but... Only 8 steals. He's been caught stealing 5 times. I guess we might think of him differently if the caught stealing rate was a little lower. And, you know, the sprint speed is still mostly there. It's pretty comparable to last year, at least.
Yeah. No, you're right. That is
disappointing. 757
OPS. I haven't moved him down. He's still a top 15 outfielder.
The county stats are still great. 36 runs, 33 RBI. He's got 7 homers. Yep. But yeah, only on pace for like 25 steals, which is a good amount, but you probably wanted more out of Starling Marte. Pete Alonso was not in the lineup after getting hit by a pitch on his right hand on Tuesday. Chris Bryant has yet to resume swinging a bat and remains without a timetable. He is on the IL with a lower back strain.
Yeah, someone offered me a give up Craig Kimbrell to get Chris Bryant trade, and I want to. Yeah. That's how I have it ranked in the trade chart, but I can't. I couldn't pull the trigger on it, so have to rethink where I've got those guys, I guess.
I hate talking in such like black and white terms, and I do this often. I realize like it's a flaw of mine, but I just kind of...
But I'm going to do it anyway.
I just kind of feel like it's just going to be a lost season for Chris Bryant.
It kind of feels like that. Yeah, I mean, that's not totally unfair. Back injuries are scary when you're talking about a player in his 30s, but I don't want to give up hope yet, so we'll see.
Fair enough. Jack Flaherty will make his second rehab start Friday at AAA. Shane Boz will make his season debut Saturday in Minnesota against the Twins. Both Carlos Correa and Willy Adames made their returns to their respective teams on Wednesday. Joe Ryan will report to AAA for a rehab start on Thursday. Nolan Arenado was out of the lineup due to knee soreness after getting hit by a pitch on Tuesday. Seiya Suzuki could be ready to return from the IL this weekend. He took batting practice earlier in the week. Dave Roberts said there's a good possibility that Wednesday is the last day of Max Muncy's rehab assignment. I think he hit a walk-off home run on Tuesday. I saw a video somewhere, so that happened. Hopefully we can see some power because really hasn't been much of that for Max Muncy this year. Dylan Carlson expected to return to the Cardinals lineup on Friday. Enrique Hernandez was placed on the IL with a right hip flexor strain, and I wonder if that means we'll see Jaron Duran back in the majors.
He wasn't recalled immediately.
I think it was Jonathan Araúz.
Yeah, but I did see one of the Red Sox reporters, I can't remember which one, suggested, you know, it's possible he could be called up for the weekend series, so... Yeah. Hopefully. I still want to see him get a chance, man. I still believe there's a very good fantasy player in Jaron Duran, and it's a little frustrating that we haven't really seen him get an opportunity to do it in the majors, because once again, he's crushing the ball at AAA. He's played 97 games at AAA overall between, what, the last two seasons. He's hitting .280 with an .890 OPS, 20 homers, 27 steals. Like, I just want to see the guy get a chance.
Yeah.
They know him better than I do. And there's something holding the Red Sox back from believing in him, seemingly. But I really want to see him get a chance.
Yeah, it feels like they're kind of slow rolling him right now. I think maybe they rushed him last year, and it kind of crushed his confidence a little bit. And I think they're really letting that build up.
And last year was weird. Because there was the whole Olympics thing, and so I don't know.
Yeah, but you're right. He's absolutely crushing it, and even if it's not, you know, it could happen later this year. But if not, I think, you know, by the start of next year, I think Jaron Duran will have an everyday job, and
he's someone I would add in all category based leagues if he gets the call, for good.
Yep. Brandon Drury was scratched Wednesday with an Achilles issue. Hyunjin Ryu is expected to miss significant time with that forearm/elbow injury. And I know the Blue Jays keep saying that Nate Pearson will return as a reliever, but maybe this changes their decision. I don't know. Joey Bart was optioned back to AAA. He was batting .156 with 4 home runs and a bunch of strikeouts. Aaron Civale will begin a rehab assignment at AAA on Thursday. I haven't heard this name in a while, but Kenta Maeda hopes to resume mound work in 2 to 3 weeks. He had Tommy John surgery September 1st of last year, so I doubt we see him this season. He said he wants to return in September, but yeah, I don't.
It would be. I don't know. Would be pretty surprising, but 11 months isn't necessarily like out of the question. It would just be, you know, on the early side.
Chris, I'm not sure if you saw this, but each Angels hitter walked up to a Nickelback song on Wednesday to try and break the losing streak. Well, turns out it didn't work because they lost one zip. They now have lost 14 straight games, and Chris, obviously you're the music buff here on the podcast. There's no denying that. If you had to walk out to a Nickelback song, which one would it be?
I want to credit the person I saw because this tweet made me laugh very hard, but it was Marcus Grant from NFL.com's fantasy team tweeted, Nickelback will continue until morale improves, was the response. Phenomenal. I don't know if this counts, but the song Hero is technically a Chad Kroeger tune from the Spider-Man 1 soundtrack, but at least one other member of Nickelback appears on it. So I'm going to count that one, and that is a song that I actually like.
Wait, what?
I like that song. All right. I don't know. I don't know if it's a good song.
I'm going to delete that
like
from
it.
The podcast.
It might just be nostalgia, but I like that song.
All right, let's move on. Rankings movers. And before we get into the risers and fallers, Chris, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think it's just worth reminding everybody, listeners, viewers, our kind of process with rankings with ranking players rest of season, because it's not an easy task to do. I fully admit that it's tough weighing what a player has done this season, especially when a player is doing something which is an outlier for them, a la Martin Perez, which, look, a lot of people are coming for you, Chris. Martin Perez, you got to give this guy some credit. But we're trying to do something that is not easy to do and project what's going to happen rest of season. So I think you probably are the most rigid in sticking to the process and trusting mm-hmm. the underlying numbers. But what else goes into ranking players rest of season for you?
This is actually, I got a really interesting Twitter question about this as well today. So it's good timing. Someone asked me, do you rank based on what you project each player to finish, like the order that you project them to finish in moving forward, or do you rank them in the order of your preference? And those are different things because, for instance, I might think, like, it is likelier that Christian Vasquez is just better than Gabriel Moreno the rest of the season, right? Like,
correct.
That is, Christian Vasquez is an established major leaguer who finishes as like the 6th to 15th best catcher in fantasy pretty much every season. But I would rather have Gabriel Moreno because it's not just about what the likeliest outcome is. It's about weighing upside and potential. And so, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And it's a combination of preference and how I think they'll play the rest of the season and what the most likely outcome is and weighing upside versus downside and all those things go into it. And there is also just, I believe that a longer track record tells you more about a player's talent level than whatever smaller sample size you want to go with. The last 21 days, the last 2 months, this season, first half, last year's first, like whatever small, like larger sample size are going to be more predictive on the whole. There are outliers and there are exceptions to that, obviously. And so you try to identify those, and it's all to say that ranking is really, really hard. And just giving an ordinal list of here are 80 starting pitchers or 120, whatever we show on the site, I think is 120?
125.
Yeah. That's really difficult because it also depends on your team. There might be one team build where I would rather have Martin Perez than...
like, let's say Hunter Green. I have Hunter Green ranked very closely to Martin Perez, sure. But it could be a points league versus Roto kind of thing. Like, in a points sure. league, I think Martin Perez is probably going to give you more volume. He's going to go consistently into his starts more. But if you play in a categories league and you need strikeouts, then Hunter Green is probably the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And then there's lots of different ways that go into it, and it depends on where you are in your, you know, if you need immediate help, you might want the guy who's hot right now. And so all of it's to say is that I just don't think Martin Perez is very good, and that's why he's my number 81 starting pitcher.
Fair enough.
But I did move him up a lot. He would technically be one of the biggest risers.
Let's see where I wound up putting. I have Martin Perez at SP 61 in points league. So
that's too rich for my blood.
He's just ahead of Jordan Montgomery, Hunter Green, who I just mentioned, Patrick Sandoval, which I think all of those are debatable, but those other players have their red flags as well. For me, Chris, I start off looking at each position. I look at what they've done so far this season, so fantasy points per game, and I'll also look at their Roto ranking. And then I'll look at the last 21 days just to see like, okay, who's hot or cold or whatever, heating up. And then I'll also have open the Baseball Savant page, which is where we get all of our StatCast data for each position. So if I'm doing catchers, then I'll just look at like expected WOBA and just like the entire list and just see like who is hitting the ball best at the position. And I'll do that for each position every time I rank the players. And for starting pitchers, I only have up two leaderboards. It's swinging strike rate and it's K minus walk rate. And those are the things that I look at most. I don't know if that's the right answer, but it feels like those are the things that are most indicative of a good starting pitcher.
I also look at projection systems. You know, that's something that I've really been struggling with outfield. I've always said ranking relief pitchers is the worst part of this job, but this season it might actually be just ranking outfielders because there's like 18 of them that are good.
Yeah.
And everyone else has just either been good so far, but I don't buy it at all, or just terrible, but I think they're good. And so I was looking at rest of season projections today and comparing them to my rankings and seeing, you know, is there anyone that I, and for the most part, it made me feel a little better about still keeping the faith in Randy Arozarena to a certain extent and Kyle Schwarber and Brian Reynolds and guys like that who just haven't been performing, but I think will be fine. So it's honestly creating ordinal rankings is my least favorite part of the job. I don't enjoy it. It's something you have to do. It's utilitarian. It helps people, but it's not the way things actually work. You know, Julio Rodriguez is number 18 and Giancarlo Stanton is number 19 and JD Martinez is number 20. And that is how I think they will be the rest of the season. And it's not really that. It's like Julio Rodriguez has this massive error bar where he could finish anywhere from 5th to 70th. And, you know, JD Martinez probably has a much narrower one, but he probably doesn't have as much upside. And so it's a difficult process that doesn't necessarily reflect how you actually play fantasy baseball. But I know that it is also like you do have to pick between two players. And so that's all to say that rankings are as much an art as a science. And please don't yell at us if we have one player higher than another.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're all different too, so I think that we should have differences in our rankings. It makes sense. Let's quickly run through some of our risers and fallers. Chris, some risers for you: Wilson Contreras, Christian Walker, Brendan Rodgers, Luis Garcia, the shortstop, Luis Severino, and David Bednar. Who would you like to highlight from this group?
Yeah, Contreras. I moved him up to my number two catcher, and I'd been kind of hesitant to do that, and I do kind of feel like maybe this will be the point when his season turns around and he stops hitting the ball so well. But man, he has looked like an elite hitter so far. And I don't think he's going to be an elite hitter moving forward, but his expected WOBA is 4.27. That is way higher than we've ever seen it. He's making a bunch of contact. He's cut his strikeout rate down to 20%. His expected WOBA on contact is also way better than we've ever seen. So he's doing everything right now. And I just, at some point, you can't ignore it. Look, I he's 30, and I think he's probably a pretty established talent, but I don't know, maybe this is just one of those years. And that's that. And then Luis Garcia, I talked about my belief in him and the skill set and how excited I am about him on yesterday's podcast. So you can tune in for that, but I think there's a lot to like about him as an improving player. And David Bednar has just been awesome.
Yes, he is.
And there's no real controversy about who the closer is like we thought there might be going into the season. He's just been one of the best relievers in baseball. And I'm buying in. He's RP13 for me, I believe.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think he's under team control for 3 or 4 years, something like that. So they're not going to move David Bednar. I don't think they are. And that means he will remain as the closer. Wilson Contreras, he is playing, obviously the universal DH has helped him a ton this year. Yeah. In 13 games as the DH for the Cubs, he's hitting .347 with an OPS over 1,100. He's also in a contract year. So I think those two things combined have been awesome for Wilson Contreras. But although William Contreras has been great too. Some risers for me, Alex Kirilloff, he's back into relevance at first base and outfield in the rankings for me. In the minors right now, he's hitting .337 with 6 homers and an OPS over 1,000. I think Alex Kirilloff is coming very soon. So if you want to take a shot and pick him back up, I have no problem with it. Bobby Witt, I moved him up to my sixth ranked third baseman. And in Roto, right? And head-to-head points. I moved him ahead of Alex Bregman as well. And it's more so just a reflection of how bad the position is. But since April 21st, this is 43 games. He's batting .242. Not great, but seven homers, seven steals. That's a 24 homer, 24 steal pace. And he's 93rd percentile in max exit velocity, 100th percentile in sprint speed. Bobby Witt is a freak. And I think the batting average is going to get better as the season goes along. And he's running and he's hitting home runs. So he is awesome. Harrison Bader, you might not realize this.
I initially recoiled at that, but I've actually got him as RB or sorry, I've been writing about football. third baseman, seven. So not far off. I still have Bregman ahead of him, but yeah.
Yeah. Bregman's been kind of bad. We got to talk about him soon. But Harrison Bader, you might not realize he is the 11th ranked outfielder in Roto this season. He has 14 steals, which is tied for second.
That's wild.
His strikeout rate is way down. And as a result, his batting average is pretty solid. Luis Severino, I moved up to my SP21. He is 11th in swinging strike rate, 18th in K minus walk. And Tarek Skubal, I moved him way up. He's SP34. He's got the eighth best K minus walk rate, 2.33 ERA. Every successive start where he just continues to pitch well, Chris, I'm just buying in a little bit more. And I just said, screw it.
I'm with you. I saw, Saris was talking about his stuff metric. Tarek Skubal has been improving as the season has gone on. I had a lot of doubts about him coming in, but I guess it's the kind of thing. He's had like nine different pitches in the majors. He's just like tinkered so much, and he seems to have really figured out a mixture that works for him. And Severino, I haven't moved quite as high, but he's SP25 for me. So yeah, I'm pretty much all back in.
Mackenzie Gore is one more that I moved up very high as well. SP43. One that I think that we can include in the risers, and he probably deserves it, man. Shane Bieber, I will admit, maybe we overreacted early on in the season, Chris. He has really gotten back on track, and he had his start cut short by rain on Wednesday here, but he went 4 1/3 shutout. He gave up 3 hits, 6 strikeouts, 11 swinging strikes on just 54 pitches, and he threw the slider 54% in this start. That has been the biggest difference. His fastball velocity is down. We know that. But he's throwing his slider a ton. It's become basically his go-to pitch, and he's still using that curveball a lot as well. And all of a sudden, Shane Bieber has a 2.91 ERA, 3.20 xFIP, and a 14% swinging strike rate. I kind of think he's just Shane Bieber again.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Shane Bieber.
He's not Cy Young Shane Bieber, which is in the running for the best pitcher in baseball, but he's probably closer to a top 10 or 12 pitcher now again.
Yeah, he's 15th for me, and I've held pretty steady around that range. I think I did move him up just a little bit this time around, but yeah, he's held pretty steady in that range. The guys behind him and or surrounding him are pretty interesting. The three ahead of him are Arias, Julio Arias, Lucas Giolito, Max Fried. And the three directly behind him are Dylan Cease, Shane McClanahan, Joe Musgrove. And I think you could make a case that all three of the guys that are behind him should be ahead of him, even though Shane Bieber's been pretty good. It's interesting. It's, this is one of those scenarios where I do think being steady helps. And, it doesn't really matter if you're probably not trading Shane Bieber for Shane McClanahan or whatever it is anyway. So, we don't have to overreact there, but I definitely feel a lot better about Shane Bieber.
All right, some fallers in the rankings. We're not going to expand on these because there are some other things I want to get to, but Chris has finally moved Charlie Morton outside of his top 40 starting pitchers.
So you're welcome for his upcoming hot streak.
Hey, we could all use it, Chris, so let's go. Aroldis Chapman, Trevor Rogers, Carlos Rodon, and Javier Baez, and some fallers for me, Yasmani Grandal. Dropped him down to my 8th-ranked catcher. It could be lower. I would still be looking to buy, personally. Javier Baez looks completely lost. I've dropped him. Byron Buxton, of course, I drop him, and then he hits his first home run in a while on Wednesday. But I just don't know if he's playing hurt or something, but the overall numbers are just suffering right now for Byron Buxton. Eric Lauer, I dropped him. The velocity and swinging strike rate has been down. Blake Snell and Patrick Sandoval, a few other names there. that have just been kind of trending down. So drop those as well. Some pitching leftovers from Wednesday. We'll start with the bad, Chris. Bassett, he's kind of going through it right now. He was at the Padres. He gave up 7 runs over 3 1/3 innings pitched. He had a 583 BABIP against. Did not allow a hard hit. So I don't really know what to make of this. It seems kind of fluky that he was that bad. But over his last 5 starts now, he has a 7.62 ERA. And then Nestor Cortes is the other one. We knew eventually he was going to give up some runs. And watching that game, it seemed like the Twins hitters were actually just sitting on the cutter. Like, that was the pitch that they were waiting on. And they timed it up perfectly a few times. And he also missed his spots. So he's kind of one of those pitchers that needs to hit his spots because he just doesn't have, like, incredible stuff. So is there anything, Chris, you'd like to add on Bassett and Nestor Cortes?
All of a sudden, Bassett's numbers are 4.35 ERA, which
bad.
Is yeah, pretty bad. I think he's still the mid 3s ERA guy. He's always been. I think maybe we overreacted to a hot start, and it's another reminder to not do that and to hold steady. Nestor Cortes, I'm assuming there's going to be a lot more regression coming. I know that's a me thing. I kind of. Not just between you and Scott and I, but among all fantasy analysts, I think there's a lot of more excitement about Nestor Cortes than I have. So I still think you should be trying to sell high.
Yeah, look, he's just not going to pitch to a sub 2 ERA, right? So let's say he finishes the season with and even this would be generous, he finishes the season with a 3.5 ERA total. That means from here on out, he's probably pitching to an ERA over 4. So it's just something, these are things that you have to think about. And I don't think that he's a bad pitcher. It's just, there will be regression. It's just natural regression.
I would take the under on 4, but I would probably take the over on 3.5. I think he'll be somewhere in between there. And that's still a useful player. He's weird. And sometimes that can work, but it might also be a scenario where, it can catch up to him. So that would be my assumption.
Now the good pitchers from Wednesday. Ian Anderson bounces back with his 3rd quality start. He was up against Oakland, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. Tony Gonsolin makes it 5 quality starts in a row. This one was at the White Sox, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts. It seems like if you look at Aaron Nola's game log, 1 great start, 1 bad start. 1 great start, 1 bad start. It basically sums up Aaron Nola. But he goes 8 shutout with 6 strikeouts at Milwaukee. And then Sean Manaea turns in a quality start of 7 innings, gives up 2 runs, only 3 strikeouts. And he used a sinker a ton in this start, 77%. Anything you'd like to add, Chris, on Manaea, Nola, Gonsolin, and Ian Anderson?
I mean, Ian Anderson, God, we needed something to be optimistic about. So it was good to see this kind of start from him. He's someone who has steadily dropped in my rankings. I think he's outside of the top 50 now and could very easily drop further than that. So it was good. Need to see more of it. I think Aaron Nola is just awesome, and there are going to be inconsistencies, but overall, I think he's just going to be great. And Gonsolin is probably the biggest riser in my rankings this week, mostly because I realized I had just overlooked him. And in Roto, I think he was like 80th. So I moved him up into like the 60 to 55 range, I think. And for his career, he's thrown 193 innings, 9.2 K per 9, 2.51 ERA, 1.035 whip. He's a little frustrating because he doesn't go in deep into games, and he gets, can be inconsistent at times and inefficient, but I think he's just good. Yeah, I think he's not sub 2 ERA good, but I think he's very good.
Some hitting leftovers from Wednesday. Salvador Perez, baby steps. His last 5 games, he's got 7 hits, 2 homers, and 7 RBI. Yordan Alvarez, 3 more hits for him. I believe the batting average is now up over 300. Tyler O'Neill, his 2nd game back, 2 hits, including his 3rd home run of the season. Randy Arozarena, 3 more hits. And now since May 1st, 34 games, he's batting 308 with 6 home runs and 7 steals. That might be someone, Chris, where we get him inside of our top, 20 or whatever it is, because Arozarena kind of just looks good again. So,
yeah, I think his overall line is probably pretty close to what you can expect moving forward. 267, 747 OPS. The 30 steal pace is really nice. I don't know how sustainable that is, but, 2020 with a 260-ish batting average. That's a useful player, and he's still, yeah, he's as down as I've been on him, he's remained inside my top 30 outfielders. So, you know, I think he's solid.
I noticed he led the league in caught stealing last year, and he currently is tied for the league lead, but they still just let him run. So I think he just has the green light regardless. The Dodgers hit some dingers. Trey Turner, Cody Bellinger, and Will Smith each hit their seventh home runs of the season. Jake Cronenworth had a pretty big game. I wanted to see what the final line was there for him.
Well, that's one that I finally moved way down in my rankings. So same. There yeah. you go.
So he went 3-for-4 with a homer, a double, 5 RBI, 3 runs scored. And even with this game, he's batting .226 with a .686 OPS. That just tells you how bad Jake Cronenworth has been this season. Dirksen Profar, Undertaker.gif. He's actually been pretty good the past month. Last 26 games, he is 35-for-108. I was supposed to calculate that. I didn't do that. With 2 home runs and 3 steals, he's let off every game since May 27th. That is Jerickson Profar. The call to the bullpen, some updates here. For the Tigers, Gregory Soto picked up his 12th save. The Mariners, you know, I thought Paul Sewald starting to look like he's the guy. No. He pitched in the 8th inning with a 3-run lead. He faced the 4, 5, and 6 in the Astros lineup. Diego Castillo then struck out the side for his 4th save of the season.
2 in a row for Castillo, right?
I believe that's correct, yeah. He's 8% rostered, so in deeper category leagues, Diego Castillo there. For the Nationals, Tanner Rainey entered in the 10th inning with a 1-run lead. He gave up 2 hits and 2 runs. He takes the blown save and the loss, of course, the glorious running of one Williams Asudillo. For the Dodgers, Daniel Hudson gave up a hit but struck out 2 for his 5th save. Craig Kimbrell is currently on the paternity list. The Red Sox won 1-0 against the Angels. How did they do it? They had a reliever named John Schreiber pitch. He recorded 4 outs across the 8th. He started the 9th, got 1 out there. Then Matt Strom got the final 2 outs, and he picked up his 3rd save of the season. And Strom has been pretty good, so let's see where the Red Sox go from here. But
Schreiber is a like a submarine pitcher.
Okay.
So it could just be you know, some kind of matchups thing with him.
Mm-hmm. If I had to guess who will get the next save for the Red Sox, I think it will be Matt Strom once again. So in deeper leagues, I think he's a name there.
Strom has been pretty interesting, yeah.
To stream or not to stream, we'll start with Thursday. Zach Eflin at the Brewers, Connor Pilkington versus Oakland, James Kaprielian at the Guardians, and JT Brubaker at the Braves.
Eflin's the only one I would want to use.
Is there anybody else? Anybody else? No, Austin Gomber. Nope, definitely not. Jordan Lyles at the Royals? That's not terrible.
I would prefer not to.
Yeah, I agree. Friday, we've got Roansy Contreras at the Braves, Spencer Strider versus the Pirates, Bruce Zimmerman at the Royals, Glenn Otto at the White Sox, and Chad Kuhl at the Padres.
Strider for sure. Contreras, I definitely want to watch, but not going to start him against Atlanta. That's just too many ways for that to go wrong, but definitely want to keep an eye on him.
All right, we're going to wrap there. For Chris, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.